Okay, Chevra. Let's go. The Gemara on Gimel Amid Beis is talking about the occasions in history when Hashem left. And the Gemara says that, according to one version, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended up laughing when La'asid Lovel, all the non-Jews come, and they convert. Aye, the Gemara asks, but we're not supposed to accept Gerim, La'asid Lovel, just like they didn't accept Gerim in the days of David and the days of Shlomo. Rather, they became Gerim, Gerurim, they put on the tefillin and the mitzitzis and the mezuzah, but when Melchemes Gog u'Magog comes, they throw it all away. Now, this issue of Gerim Gerurim, of these, like, we'll call it partial Gerim or pseudo Gerim or something or another Gerim. I don't know how to translate it. But this issue is really addressed in the Gemara in Yevamis on Dav Chaf Dalet. Right? I assume you had a chance to see this piece of Gemara. So this is actually the most relevant Shaila that comes up in Geirus all the time. I do Geirus occasionally. I do probably 25, 30 a year. And
no, it's a lot.
Well, it's not that much.
But
well,
it is because all the generations are now going to be Jewish. It's a lot of people.
Right, it's not people in the future. No, I mean, 25, 30 people. You see, I live in Manhattan. So the way Geirus now works is there's this thing called the GPS, which is the Geirus Protocols and Systems, which is that the RCA allows certain Rabbonim to do Geirus and other Rabbonim not to do Geirus, and the Rabbonim who the RCA approves end up that the Rabbanut will accept their Geirus. That's the basic story. The first two Geirus I did, actually, were two sisters here in Stern College. And does Aaron Cohen still teach here? So Aaron Cohen noticed that this is like probably 10 years ago. Aaron Cohen found out these two sisters in college who came from Iowa. It turned out that their mother was actually non-Jewish. So Aaron Cohen calls Rabbi Willig, and Rabbi Willig is like, are they from? They're from. So Rabbi Willig's like, okay, we're converting them this afternoon. He goes down to the base medrash. He says, Rav Shechter, come, we're doing a Geirus this afternoon. She's like, okay, I'll come. So then they realize they need someone else. So Rabbi Willig asks me, can I come? So I come. So it's me, Rabbi Shechter, and Rabbi Willig. So I assume, like, this should be an acceptable bezdin, and everything is wonderful. It turned out that one of these young women decided to get married in Israel, and the Rabbanut rejected the Geirus because who is this guy, Ezra Schwartz? Now, this is kind of crazy on some level, because, like, Rav Shechter, who's the posek for all the Geirus in America, like, is sitting on the Besdin with me, so you'd assume that, like, if Rav Shechter's sitting with me, they'd realize that, like, I'm not some, I don't know, Reform rabbi. But no, right, the Rabbanut didn't accept that Geirus. And then, because Rav Shechter had been on the Besdin with me, they didn't allow Rav Shechter to vouch for me that I was, like, an Orthodox Jew. So Rav Gedalia Schwartz had to vouch for me that I was an Orthodox Jew. So I guess it turned out okay, although someone told me that this young woman, after she got married, she went for a Geirus L'chumra afterwards, which is actually not so uncommon. The raya is that it's in the Chumra song. You know the Chumra song? So there's one line in the Chumra song about how every day I do a Geirus L'chumra. Because, do you know what I'm talking about? Dr. What's he called? Drelach. It's like there's the Avera song and the Chumra song,
yeah.
Right? These are his contributions to Judaism. Okay, this is all very important. But the question of converting L'shem Ishus is found here in Yevamis Chaf Dalet. The Gemara understands, we have a case, if someone is Nitan al Hashifra, well, Ovedes Kochavim, that basically is a case that someone is living with a non-Jewish woman, a man is living with a non-Jewish woman, and then they convert, so you're not supposed to marry. Because, like, it's a pasnisht, right? That's basically the halacha. It's a pasnisht is, like, Yiddish, it's not fitting, it's not appropriate, so therefore you're not supposed to get married. So Gemara asks, are you telling me that the Geirus is good, but don't we know that Geirus was shown Ishos, if I convert in order to get married, or if you convert L'shum Shulchan Malachim, Molashum Avde Shlomo. So Rav Nechemya says it's not Gerim at all. So the Gemara answers that no, we're going like the other opinion that they are good Gerim, but nonetheless you shouldn't do the Geiris Lechatchila because of Haser Mimcha Ikshus Peh Velazus Fasayim. Because it looks bad, there's like some negative statements that people will make about this Geiros. Very often in Geiros, one of the first questions that we ask, most, by the way, probably 80% of the people who come to the Bezin in Manhattan to convert are women. For some reason, I have never yet been at a Geiros. I've done probably 80, 100. I've never yet been at a Geiros of a man with a bracha. The only Geiros that we've done of men have all been suffolk of some sort, so we always did it without a bracha. But most of the Geiros are women, and one of the first questions we ask is, tell me, are you going out with anybody? And usually say, no, 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 Rabbi, because they know what to answer. But as you go through the process for a few months, etc., and they keep on coming back, and you ask them more and more questions because you want to find out, A, that they have the knowledge to live life as a Jew, B, that they... that they're sincere. You don't want to convert them the first time you meet them, because how do you know they're sincere? So usually we assume that it takes a year from the time that you first appear in front of the Bezin until we actually convert you. That's usually the amount of time. That's enough time to prove sincerity. So we always ask, are you dating? And eventually it comes out we're dating, then we ask to meet the guy, because usually it's a woman, so he has to meet the guy. And, you know, we want to know that the guy is also someone who's Shomer Mitzvahs. Now, we had a young woman who was so sincere, and we meet the guy, and we ask the guy, do you keep Shabbos? He's like, sometimes. Like, okay, that's good. Do you wear tefillin? No. Why not? Because he's a South African fellow, and he goes to an Orthodox shul when he goes to shul. That's like South African... it's not uncommon. That's the way it goes. So like, no, I'm sorry, you know, like, and the guy, it turned out, became very frum in this process, right? Just it took a lot longer. So as a matter of halacha, we pask in that lechatchila, we are not supposed to be megayer somebody l'shom ishus. And this concept of being megayer l'shom ishus, the Gemara compares it to geirim b'mei Shlomo. So my understanding of Gerim Gerurim in this Gemara is that what the Gemara is saying is that this is the type of non-ideal Gerus, right? Which is a machlokes hatanoim, but we paskin, like the Manda Amar, that it is good b'diyeved. Now, why is it good b'diyeved? So the Nemuke Yosef in Yevamis quotes in the Ritva, and the Ritva, you look at the Ritva, there in Yevamis, the Ritva says that why is the Geiros good b'di'evet? Who wants to fill me in? Why, according to the Ritva, is this Geiros good? Shouldn't it show that this person is not sincere? You're only converting because you want to marry a Jew, right? And sincerity, l'cha'ora, is the ikar of Geiros. So why is it good? Doesn't Luke Yosef say, Talia, you remember? What does the Ritva say? Same thing. They're the same base medrash, Ritva and Luki Yosef. So the Ritva has an expression that the reason why the Geiros is good b'diyeved is because of agar onsaihu, gamir, right, because of the ones, so they make up their mind and they become sincere. What the Ritva is saying is that, you know what? Really, we're not sure that they're going to be sincere. But Ritva writes, agar onsaihu, because of the ones, they make up their mind and they're forced, therefore they will convert. I hope I'm not ruining anything by writing on this. That's what the Ritva says. Now, comes along the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram was the Kovner Rav, and in the Tshuva in Chelak Gimel Simin Chavches.
So why does he allow it?
He allows it because even though you would think they don't have real das to convert, but nonetheless, because they're forced, they really want to get married, so they decide to be serious, and that's enough. The Dvar Avram compares this to a sugya in the beginning of Kedushin, in Baba Basra, the sugya of Toyuhu Bezodin Zavini Zvini. Let's say I walk into the store, and I have a little Colt 45 in my pocket, not a beer or a gun. And I walk over to you, and I say, do me a favor, sell me the car. And the guy says, I really don't want to sell the car. So I just sell the car. So you move us up, and if I force you to sell something, zvini zvini. Why? So think about this. Whenever I sell something, I don't want to part with my stuff. I only part with my stuff because there's some onus. I'm forced to do it because I need the cash. So now there's a very evident onus called a gun. So whenever I sell stuff, I'm selling stuff because I'm being forced. So even if I sell something because there's a gun, that is a good mechira. Similarly, says the Dvar Avram, in understanding the Ritva here, Agav Unsayu, because you're forced, you're serious. Right? If a sale is not serious, if I sell something to you, and I have no Gemira Stas, I don't really want to make the sale. The sale is Batal Mevutal. Right? Lo Shirin V'lo Kayamin V'lo Yom Cholen Klal U'Klal Me'at V'yad Olam. The sale is nothing. So, how come it's good? Because we assume that you mean it. So, Zok the Ritva, we assume that you mean the Geirus when you're being forced. Hi, Michal.
Oh, I was trying to, not entirely relevant, but in terms of, like, you say it's somewhere called Kuvnozoa.
We say what?
Kuvnozoa Jomerotani.
By a get or something, yeah.
Yeah,
and that's actually that same Gemara, Baba Basra Memches, yeah. Right? In other words, if you force somebody, that means that they have das. It's the same type of idea. Kofen also actually on the road, Sandy. The same idea of you Vizavin, that it's a valid sale when you're forced, and therefore the Ritva says it's a valid sale because the person is being forced to be Jewish in order to get married. So the Dvar Avram, because he makes this comparison to Mechira, so Dvar Avram says, you know what? In our world, when unfortunately Orthodox Judaism does not really have control of what goes on in the larger world out there, Zaket Varavram, any Geirus for Shum Ishos is absolutely not valid. Because the whole Svara, why it works, is according to the Ritva, that the person is forced to be Jewish. What does that mean? The Vavram says, what that means is that now that you converted, we know that you're going to be serious, because you're living in Meya Sha'arim, you're living in the ghetto, in who knows where, you have no way of getting out, everyone around you is from, there are no options, right? That's the difference, right? You had no options. You're going to be what your father was. You're going to be what your mother was. Same thing. So says the Dvar Avram, all of our geirus is absolutely bottle. All of the geirus that we do in the United States, I don't know, all, a good chunk of them, where it's geirus in order to get married, the geirus is absolutely invalid. That's what the Dvar Avram says. Them's fighting words, no? That's what he says. That's how he paskins. Who argues on the Dvar Avram? What was the other tshuva I gave you? I gave you the Dvar Avram in parentheses. But who did I give you? The other tshuva? The Achiezer. Who's the Achiezer? When and where did he live? The Achiezer is Reb Chaim Ozer. Yes, Shani?
So I have a question based on that.
Okay.
Say someone converts for marriage, but they actually live a life of Judaism.
It doesn't matter. Says the Dvar Avram, even if we know that your mom is wearing a sheitel on a skirt that goes down to the floor, and like Aleph Rimkeit, you wash Negovasa 40 times a day whenever you doze off in class, right? You wash Negovasa. You're super duper frug. Right? Says the Dvar Avram, it doesn't matter because there's nothing forcing you to be Jewish in our world. And the only reason why it's good is because we know that you meant it because you're being forced. But today, nothing forces you, therefore, you're not Jewish. There's a story. Rav Salvechuk was supposed to marry the Dvar Avram's daughter, no? And he didn't like her. He went out on a date. Whatever.
Yeah. Here's a good date story.
What?
That's a good date story. Went out on a date, and he didn't like her.
Hey, that's the story. There's a letter that Rav Moshe Salavechik wrote to the Kavna Rav about how my son is like such a huge Talmud Chacham. So everyone's like figuring out, why is Moshe Salavechik writing to the Kavna Rav, to the Dvar Avram, about how big of a Talmud Chacham his son is? The answer was, you got it, right? Now, they were both Jewish, so that's not really subject to our conversation tonight. But the Dvaravram feels that our Geiros is going to be invalid in most cases. The person who argues on the Dvaravram is the Achiezer, Reb Chaim Elozer Grudzinski. Reb Chaim Elozer was Nifter right before the war. He lived in Vilna. Reb Chaim Elozer is the one person who realized that the Chazon Ish is like a majorly Talmud Chacham. And Reb Chaim Elozer says that he thinks that when the Ritva says Agav on Saihu, that because you're forced, so therefore you accept it, the Ritva doesn't mean that like we're really forcing it, but it means that we can assess, we as a Bezin assess that your conviction is serious to convert, even though you're converting for marriage, but just like in the case when you're forced, we assume that you mean it, so also when you're converting to get married, we assume that you're meaning it. It doesn't mean that you're actually being forced. That's what the Achiezer writes in the Tshuva. Now, I'm actually interpreting the Achiezer a bit, but the Achiezer assumes that Geiros L'Shem Ishos actually works. Point one. The Now, the Tosfos there in Yevamos comments that the Ger who appeared to Hillel and said, convert me, I'm going to ask to become a Kohen Gadol. Hillel was one to convert him. Convert me, I'm going to ask to teach me all of Torah. So Tosfos over there in Yevamos writes that Hillel was convinced, but Tuachaya Hillel de Sofolasus Hashem Shamayim. And that sounds a little more like the Achiezer's approach, which is that Beis Din has a right to say, you know what, we're convinced that you really mean it. A guy says, convert me, I should be a Kohen Gadol. Hello, if you're a convert, you can't be a Kohen Gadol, right? If you're a convert, by definition, you're not from Shevet Kohuna. So what's going on? The Torah says that if Beis Din is convinced, we can convert you. That's what the Achiezer assumes, la halacha. Okay. There's a few other interesting issues that come up. Did any of you find the Achiezer in Bar Ilan? Were you able to read it?
Brianna found it for us.
What?
Brianna found it
for you. Oh, excellent. So, there's a few interesting points in this Achiezer. The Achiezer then has another kula regarding Geiros, which is also very controversial. The Achiezer says that there's a Gemara B'choris and Daf Lamed. Gemara B'choris and Daf Lamed says that if I ask to be, if I ask to convert, and I say, chutz midaber echad, I want to convert to Judaism, and I'll do everything besides one mitzvah, so the Gemara says, don't work. It doesn't work. Now, many people jump up and down the spitboard of Nichols and ask, how come the Rambam doesn't seem to quote this? But the Teretz probably is that the Rambam does quote it elsewhere. It's in Hilchos Avodim in the Rambam, not in Hilchos Geiros, not in Parak Yud Gimel Kesuri B, or where the laws of Geiros are. That's like a technical point within the Rambam. But this question, what does Chutz Midaber Echad mean, was also a machlekes between the Achiezer and the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram says Chutz Midaber Echad means that if you know that someone is converting to Judaism and they're going to speak 600, they're going to keep 612 mitzvahs. But they are going to, you ask the person. We once had a case like this in the Beis Din. Right? A young woman says that she is a confirmed vegetarian. Okay, wonderful. Many people are vegetarian. I have a daughter who's a vegetarian. Right? Okay, not so uncommon. So we ask her, what's going to happen? Actually, Rabbi Jachter has a story in his book also. That what's going to happen? Like the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. You have to eat Korban Pesach. What would you do? What are you going to do? If you're a confirmed vegetarian, what do you do about Korban Pesach? You have to accept every single mitzvah. And if there's any mitzvah you say, I can't do that, sorry. Right? We won't convert you. That's Chutz Midaber Echad. The Dvar Avram understands that Chutz Midaber Echad, the right answer there, by the way, is, yeah, I'll eat enough Korban Pesach just to be Yotzei. That would be my one time out of vegetarianism. But let me just finish this point before I take your question, Shani. The Dvar Avram says, Chutz Midaber Echad means that if we know you will not accept Judaism, meaning, if we know that there's one mitzvah that you won't accept, what one mitzvah won't you accept? I don't know, Lashon Hara. Right? That one's hard. By the way, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim and Yom HaKippurim, you know what Averi is being mechaper for? The Chofetz Chaim points out in Likutei Halachos there in Yoma, Lashon Hara. It's a serious thing. So let's take one that's not as serious. Maver ben olamolach. Right? You're saying that there's... What?
Not serious at all.
I don't know. I've never gotten a shy about that. But the point is, Zapid Varavram, if we know that you'll keep every mitzvah besides one, by the way, this is a very sensitive question. Are you allowed to convert someone who is, you know, LGBT? That means what? What does it mean? So I've been trying to convince other Dayanim that it doesn't really mean anything in practice. I think it just means identity, at least with the young people I know. I don't think it means anything, but there are Batei Din that won't convert someone who says that they're LGBT, because that means that you're not going to keep 613 mitzvahs, no? The Dvar Avraham says, if we know that there's one mitzvah that you won't keep, we can't convert you. The Achiezer, Reb Chaim Eizer, however, takes the more lenient approach. Reb Chaim Eizer says that we will convert you if you keep 612 mitzvahs, but you can't stipulate and say, I'm only keeping 612, right? When we have you in the mikvah, right, that's what we do. You're in the mikvah basically until the neck. When women go in, by the way, there's like a robe on top of them. You don't see anything. You see much more walking on the street in Manhattan than you see like at a gayness. I promise you. Like, your mamish don't see anything. Now, in the mikvah, we say, do you accept whatever you give to them? Hodas mixas mitzvos kalos, mixas mitzvos chamuros, shabbos, stucco, right? We speak about a smattering of mitzvos. If a person says, I'm converting, but not for this, we say that doesn't count. That's what the Achiezer says. Even if we know, we have an umdana demuchach, that you won't keep certain mitzvos, says the Achiezer, and umdana demuchach, that you won't keep certain mitzvos, that's not a reason not to convert you. Only, the Achiezer says, if it's Shabbos and Kashrus. It's interesting, he leaves out Taras HaMishpacha, no? The standard refrain that people had is that Orthodox Judaism means Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, right? The Achiezer only says, you saw that in the line, Achiezer? Umdana demuchach, about Chilo Shabbos and Achilas Treifis. Then we won't convert you. But any other mitzvah, if a person, we have an umdana demuchach on anything else, says the Achiezer, we still will convert you. So this is a huge machlokas between the Achiezer and the Dvar Avram regarding Geirus, and this is relevant all the time. It's mamish relevant all the time. Okay, now Shani, you had a question.
I mean, I was just going to say, I guess it is a negative connotation if someone's going to go into Judaism already knowing that they're not going to keep one of the mitzvot. Like, that's not the best thing, but at the end of the day, if they're saying, I'm just not going to keep one, but I'll keep 612, that's better than most of the other Jews. So, like, why?
Right! Okay, I mean, let's make this more relevant. In Israel today, you have lots of Russians, no? Many of the Russians have questionable yichud, so you're allowed to convert them? Now, there's a whole discussion out there that maybe Geirus in Israel is different than Geirus in America, similar to the Ritva, because in America, you could just like assimilate into non-Jewish society. In Israel, you're going to have a Jewish identity, Maman of Shach. The calendar operates, right? Yom Kippur is a day off, right? Yom Kippur is a day off. So maybe it's better in Israel. Most poskim feel, this is the big divide between like Rabbanei Tzohar and the Rabbanut. The Rabbanut has taken, right, when the newspapers say that they are taking a hard line on Geirus, right, just to know what they're actually saying, is they're saying, no, you have to accept all 613 mitzvahs. Now, that means if you have someone who's a secular Israeli who wants to convert in order to get married, right, the Rabbanut is in charge of Gittin and Kedushin in Israel. You want to convert to get married. You're a Russian. The Rabbanut's going to say, we're not going to convert you unless you keep the mitzvahs, right? This was the whole issue of the Neman Commission years ago and stuff. This is the big issue. Reb Chaim Eizer might be open to the idea that if you don't stipulate that I'm not going to keep any mitzvah, and we have no umdana regarding these big two, Shabbos and Kashrus, so then Reb Chaim Eizer won't be open to converting them. But Shabbos and Kashrus, even for Reb Chaim Eizer, is a defining aspect of Yiddishkeit. So far, so good? Yeah.
I've never asked
Well, the Achi Ezer says that Dover Acher means one thing, but it's one thing if you make a tnai in the Gaelus, if you stipulate. The Dvar Avram is saying that Dover Acher Dover Echer means that if we know that you won't keep one thing, we have an umdana. Lashon Hara is not an umdana that you won't keep it, even for the Dvar Avram. Everyone tries to not speak Lashon Hara. No? Every Orthodox person. Right? We all say, Nishan Lashon Hara Garet, but I got a good one, or something. So, the reality is, according to Reb Chaim Ozer, that only if you stipulate that you're not going to accept that mitzvah. So then there's a chesaron in Kabbalah on mitzvahs. Kabbalah on mitzvahs means that you realize that everything came from Sinai. So far, we're taking the approach that Gerim Gerurim in our Gemara, which is this partial Geirus, but ultimately it's got to really be a complete Geirus, but it's a complete Geirus under duress. That seems to be the approach that both the Chaim Ezer and the Dvar Avram are taking. That's what's based on the Ritva, etc. However, we have some interesting Rambams, no? Who wants to tell me what the Rambam wrote? Over here. Tell me.
This is like you're talking about Shimshon and Shlomo, that they did convert, but then like ultimately it's very clear that they went back to their original Lazara, and Shlomo and Shimshon kind of are accused of that, and then they...
Right. The Psukim say that Shlomo married Nashim Nachrios. Zuck the Rambam, it doesn't really mean Nashim Nachrios. They were partial converts, right? But, Tehila, you want to add something? Or?
Then he goes on to say that Beeson does that, including them into the Kahal.
Bezdin investigates, right? Sod HaDavar Kahu. That's like an interesting formulation in the Rambam. This is the little secret about Geirus. If you have Shemitah Nechona, when the Ger comes to convert, you check after. Maybe they're converting for money. Maybe they're converting Bishvil Surara Sheyizgala. By the way, that line in the Rambam is a very interesting line, given that the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Malachim that Gerim cannot have Surara. No? Whatever, it's a politically laden line, but it's an interesting line in the Rambam. So the Rambam says the ideal way to convert somebody is we investigate, are you doing it for some ulterior motive, you're scared, etc. Maybe im issue balkan achor shama ein of nasan be isha yehudis im lo nimshalahem ila moldin also kovod ol hatorah torech. If they accept it, wonderful. And therefore, they didn't accept Gerim in the days of David and Shlomo because maybe they're scared. In the days of Shlomo, maybe because they want all the good stuff that the Jewish people have. Af al pikein hayu Gerim harbe miskayim b'mei David Shlomo bifnei hadyotos. That's a key line in the Rambam, no? The Rambam is saying that they did not convert in the days of David and Shlomo, and probably Shimshon, etc. They did not convert in front of a full-fledged, authorized Bezdin. Rather, they converted Bifnei Hedyotos. They converted in the presence of, right? Hedyotos means ordinary people. V'haya Bezdin Hagodol Choshishin Lahen. That's also an interesting formulation. Since when do you need Bezdin Hagadol? Bezdin Hagadol sounds like the Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph. Right? He's talking about the Bezdin Hagadol is choshesh lahem, lo dochen osan acha shetavlu, lo mekarven osan ad shetire acharisam. But, since Shlomo converted these women, the Pasuk considers that, and it's known that they were not really serious, and it wasn't done by a real Bezdin, so therefore, they remained aser lefishal chiyach sofan outchilas and chain of the savodazara, right? And they built bummels vehelalayan. That's why, right? Vehelalavakosef kiilu hubna and shenema oziv neshlomo bama, etc. So zok the Rambam that gerim gerurim means that people converted in front of hetiotos, and the Rambam is saying that when Bezdin finds out later that they're serious, they're Jewish. We find out later that they're not serious, they're not Jewish. Now, yeah, Michal.
Okay, how does that work in terms of, like, taking away Gira from Mount Freya, and like, where are the Jews during that time period? What do you do about Shabbos?
Yeah, so these are big issues, right? So apparently, they are presumed to be Jewish, but if we prove otherwise, then we push them away. Right? In other words, if you have a suffix, the Mishnayis speak about cases of a community that you find a baby who's mushlach, and the community is half Jews, half goy, so the baby is a suffix Jew, suffix goy. And then we have real questions in terms of Shabbos, etc. That's the whole discussion, the Binyan Si and others, about what a suffix Jew does for Shabbos, no? But this case is not a suffix Jew. This case is somebody who is presumably Jewish, but we are investigating Beis Din will if they find out afterwards that they were never serious and it turns out that it was no good.
It's like on probation.
Yes, but you're accepted on probation.
What's the timeline for that?
Unclear.
So 25 years later, they were spoken to Zara and now they're not Jewish?
Unclear. Right?
Is there a difference between like showing that?
Now, again, we have a matter of halacha that you saw after Pishachat Yisrael. If someone converts to Judaism, and then the person ends up not religious, it's a Jew who's doing Averis, right? But apparently, this Gerim Gerurim situation is something that we can undo your Jewishness, likely because you didn't convert in front of a legitimate Beis Din originally. That's Pashtus, what the Rambam is saying. Hi, Shani.
So, I know someone whose mother converted for a marriage. So what does she do? She converted twice. And she did it twice.
Yeah. I know lots of people like this.
So like what? All the rabbis say that.
So again, we're not going to discuss right now. Maybe in a few minutes we'll discuss it briefly. The contemporary question about revoking Geirus, which became a big issue in Israel a few years ago. That's a very important contemporary question. I don't think we're discussing that right now, right? That question is in some ways very different than this question. When I'll say it like this, very quickly. The whole conversation with Rabbi Avram Sherman, the Dayan in the Beis Din in Tel Aviv. So he wrote a whole brief to revoke the Geirus. Avduchovsky, who's on the Beit Din HaGadol Yerushalayim, disagreed with him, and there was a back and forth in Tchumen about these issues. Those questions were more whether the Beis Din ever was a legitimate Beis Din. Let's say I find somebody who converted in the presence of a not legitimate Beis Din. So they were never Jewish. Right? Hedyotos are Orthodox Jews who are not Talmidei the Chachamim. Right? The Cheshbon that Rav Duchovsky had is that those Dayanim who were doing the conversion, the Cheshbon that Rav Sherman had, that those Dayanim who were doing the conversion were Pasul Ladon, because the Mishnah Nida says that Kasher Lahayit is Kasher Ladon. If you're Pasul Lahayit, you're Pasul Ladon. If I'm not allowed to give testimony in Halacha, so then I can't serve as a Dayan. So Rav Sherman said, well, one second, right? These Dayanim, these religious Zionist Dayanim, they violate whatever the Yisurim he lined up, and therefore they're Pasol Lahaid, therefore they're Pasol Ladon, therefore the Geirus is never good. That's a slightly different situation than this Rambam Gerim Gerurim, where the Beis Din originally was Hedyotos for Orthodox Jews. Right? That's the real issue. Again, I'm not defending Rav Sherman one way or another, I'm just saying that's a slight difference between that case and this case. But Hayotze, in footnote 650 in the Ritva. Did anyone look at this? The Ritvas on Yevamos have footnotes, like they go on as long as Mashiach. Huh?
We all wanted to read them. I said they're a lot.
They are really long. Really, really long. It's basically it's like a full sefer in the footnotes. I mean, Rav Yaffin, Rav Avram Yaffin, wrote the notes on the Ritva and Yevamos, and it's there. So note 650 on that Ritva, he assumes that maybe what the Rambam is saying is that you don't really need a Kabbalas or Mitzvahs at the time of Geirus. Maybe what the Rambam is saying is, in fact, the Rambam never writes. Usually we assume that there are three components of Geirus. Mila for a man, Tevila, and Kabbalas or Mitzvahs, right? The Rambam also writes at the beginning of Parak Yud Gimel, there are three components of Geirus. But the Rambam writes, "B'shloshu dvarim nichnasu Yisrael lebris, mila, tevila, and karbin." Right? Today we don't have a karbin. But for the Rambam, he doesn't say kabbalos ol mitzvahs. So Rav Yaffin says that maybe what the Rambam is saying is that you don't really need kabbalos ol mitzvahs, but, meaning, at the time of Geiris, you don't have to accept mitzvahs. What? If it turns out that afterwards they are oved avodah zarah, that's not just a mitzvah, that's like a super hancho mitzvah. That's like a big one. So then it turns out that you know they were never serious. But you don't have to formally accept all the mitzvahs. That's what Rabbi Yaffin says. And based on this, he explains the Rambam, that the Rambam is saying that Shimshon and Shlomo, they married women, and you know what? Even though they didn't accept mitzvahs, that would be okay. That's not such a problem. The only problem was Avodah Zarah later on. That's the only problem. Now, Rav Soloveitchik was very, very upset by this approach. The approach that you do not need kabbalos or mitzvahs, the Rav felt is terrible. And if you read, in of all places, this is found in the Rav's essay Kodo Dito Faith. Note 22. Kodo Lido Fake is the Rav's essay about what? Religious Zionism, no? I think President Berman mentioned this in his investiture to Russia, no? He said that the Rav gave Kodo Lido Fake right there in Lamport Auditorium, which I was not aware of. But okay, still Zion. Now, the Rav in Kodo Lido Fake, footnote 22, gets really upset about people say that you don't need Kabbalah on mitzvahs. And the Rav says, well, Kabbalah on mitzvahs, that is Judaism. What's Yiddishkeit if not for keeping all the mitzvahs of Hashem? It's a meaningless thing, right? Yiddishkeit is what? You march in Israel Day Parade. Right? What exactly is it? So the Rav felt this thing, right, doesn't make any sense. But the Yisod of Rav Yaffe within the Rambam is basically a very different take than what the Achiezer is assuming, what the Dvaravram is assuming. They both assume that you need to accept all 613 mitzvahs. However, the question is, what about a case that we know you won't do it? Right? But you don't explicate. You don't say specifically. Right? That's their discussion. For Rav Yaffin within the Rambam, you don't have to say all 613 mitzvahs. That's already a big chiddush. The standard approach within the Rambam is that the Rambam is distinguishing between what we call Kabbalas mitzvahs and Hodanas mitzvahs. Right? Kabbalas mitzvahs means that we know that you're serious to keep all of Judaism. Hodas mitzvahs is when you're in the mikvah. You know, we don't go through the list of Taryag mitzvahs. It would be very long. You're in the mikvah, and we say, do you hereby accept not to be ma'avir b'no l'molech? Do you hereby accept, right, you go through every mitzvah? That's too long. We tell you, mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalos, mitzvahs, mitzvahs, chamuros. The Rambam says, hodas mitzvahs is not essential. Kabbalas mitzvahs, the Rav felt, that is the whole ikar of Yahados. You can't be Jewish without kabbalas mitzvahs. Now, our Gemara, what's the impression you get from our Gemara regarding the Gerim Gerurim? If I'm right with my premise is that the Gerim Gerurim over here is Gerim in the days of David and Shlomo, which we equate to Gerim L'shom Ishos, right? And those are all the broad category of Gerim Gerurim. Did they accept all the mitzvahs or not in our Gemara? How do you read Avodah Zarah Gimel Midbeis, ladies? What? They didn't. How do you know? They only have tefillin, tzitzis, and mezuzah. No, right? Which we said meant that they're like trying to do mitzvahs, like the sort of public mitzvahs. And nonetheless, if we're right, so then the assumption might be that gerim gerurim could mean even if someone is not accepting all the mitzvahs, and that could still give some level of Yiddishkeit to people. That would be a tremendous kula. I don't know anyone who says what? I think our Gemara on Daf Gimel Midbeis speaks about the non-Jews la'asud lavo who come and they say, you know, we want to partake in the pie, and they come and they're wearing tefillin and tzitzis, etc. It sounds like they're doing some mitzvahs to demonstrate. Nowhere in this Gemara does it say that they're accepting all the mitzvahs.
But also, do we consider them full Jews? Like, it seems like God's laughing at them, like we're making fun of them.
Well, God is laughing at them because they rip off their tefillin and they throw it down. God is laughing at them because we see they're not serious.
And if they're not serious, then how would they have been? How is that? Even if they're only doing
tefillin. I want to read this Gemara something like the Rambam. That God is ki'ilu, the Beis Din HaGadol, and these people converted on their own in the presence of Hadiotos. And had they not thrown their tefillin and tzitzis down, maybe it would have been good. No?
But then it wasn't good because...
It wasn't good because they... Because it's like Nishay Shlomo. It wasn't good because we show... We prove that they never meant it at all. Right? But had that not happened, perhaps it would be a full Geirus even without the acceptance of all the mitzvahs. Again, I would not say this lahalacha chas v'shalom. I'm just reading the Gemara, and I get some indication that this is what the Gemara means. Liat, you had a comment? Okay, anything else to speak about over here? Is that enough of the Skiris conversation? Good? It's two words. I felt it important to...
about the
what?
The Nachmanides, even like when talking to Shimshon. Right.
Yeah, Shimshon and Shlomo.
So what are you saying about the kids in the lives, right? So if they're in this like subbehavior category, aren't kids?
So the impression that you get is that here, look in Halachi Yud Zayin in the Rambam. Ger shelo badku achra, vo shelo hodiu ha mitzvus. Umo v'tovah b'fnei shlosha hediotos hareze ger afilo noda shebeshvil davar hu miskaya ho umo v'tovah yotam b'chlo ha'goyim v'choshe shimlo ad sheyisba'er tzidkusel v'afilo chazar v'aved avodazar v'aveku yisrael mishum shekidusha kedusha mitzvah lahachse avidaso, etc. And that's why Shimshon and Shlomo kept their wives af al pi shenigla sodan. And this is what Kashim Gerim Yisrael means. You get the impression that until you are megale that they were absolutely non-serious at all, we presume them to be Jewish, and their children will be Jewish, and Shalom Yisrael. Again, I'm just reading Rambam.
Because that's how the Rambam gets out of also like Hebrews and Shabbos problem, right?
The Rambam is the same. We presume that you're Jewish.
Like, that's not what we were saying before, but that is what the Rambam is saying.
Yeah, no, I think that is what we said before.
Meaning, no.
Within the Rambam, we assume that you are Jewish. What?
Right.
Within the Rambam, we assume that you're Jewish. You converted in front of Hediotos without a Kabbalos mitzvahs, according to Rav Yaffin, or we're going to say with a Kabbalos mitzvahs, without Hodas mitzvahs, right? That's a big difference. But you had just like any kangaroo court gets together to convert people. The halacha would be, according to Rambam, the Geirus is good. Hi.
And I think before we had the emphasis on the bashya, we could like repeal the Geirus, but really what we're saying is that it's too hard to repeal the Geirus.
You can't repeal Geirus, right. But we can be megala that the Geirus was never real.
Wait, but how does that? And the Rambam doesn't really work, does that?
What?
Meaning, like, the Rambam doesn't really work. He basically sets the case for that, like, you know,
if there was a real Beis Din, the Geirim is good no matter what. If it was a kangaroo court.
Okay, but, like, in Shlomo and Shimshon, right?
Kangaroo court.
Yeah, we're never going to be able to megala that they
were. No, they were megala sodan because they built bamos and they were Obed Avodah Zarah. That's megala that they were actually not serious. Had that not happened, then we'd assume that they were Jewish. And that's why Shlomo remained married to these women, because he thought that they're fully Jewish.
Shlomo.
Huh? Right?
So that's like implying in order for like the receipt to be real in that time, you have to like make it real yourself afterwards.
Some Beis Din HaGadol has to affirm that you meant it. That's what the Rambam is saying. Liat, you had a comment? I think the Rambam's notion, you see, our notion is that Geirus is an all or nothing deal. Either you're Jewish or you're not Jewish. The Rambam is creating a new idea that you are presumably Jewish, but not al-Chatchilo Jew, right? It's like a very backhanded, funny Rambam. I think that's what the Rambam is saying. Good? Let's... Okay. The Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph talks a little bit about Mispalel B'Shloma Shel Malchus. Mispalel B'Shloma Shel Malchus, I'll just make one last Agadata Ha'ara. Mispalel B'Shloma Shel Malchus means even if it's a bad government. The Mishnah in Avos that our Gemara is quoting probably means that even if it's a bad government, we daven that that government should be good to the Jews. There was a whole conversation at the end of the Obama administration when the U.S. for the first time didn't veto an anti-Israel piece of U.N. legislation. So like some rabbonim were saying, we can't say the prayer for the government of the United States anymore. L'cha'ora, it's adarabba. If you feel that the government is anti-Israel, having misbalanced the Shlomo Shel Malchus, you should daven for it even more. My father likes to talk about how there's a Rettelheim Sitter that was published in the 1930s in Germany, the end of the 30s, that says something to the effect of there's a tefillah hanosin shalom lochem, mem shalom sechem, etc. If a Rettelheim is published in Germany, the end of the 30s, hanosin shalom lochem, that means that they're saying that prayer for Adolf Hitler.
It's not davening for
Hitler,
it's davening
that Bimehem Yameinu Tivasha Yehuda V'Yisrael Yishkol Nevetah, that they should not, right, long live the Tsar and keep him far away from us. Right, that's the prayer. Right, not to disturb Klal Yisrael. But Mispalel B'Shloma Shel Malchus L'Cha'ora has to mean that. It can't mean only if the government does what we want. I think that would be just a complete misreading of these sources. Obviously, I wanted to get to Mutar Shu Shogigin tonight, to the Rashba there in Beitza. In Yisrael Shem, Ol Chazon Lamoed, after Yontif. Everyone should have a Gemar Chassima Tova, a good Kepeng Shdiar. Try to daven with as much Kavan. You should daven to have success in Talmud Torah. It's an important thing. You should daven for success in everything in life. And the idea that the Gemara has in Bava Kamma, that if someone needs something and their friend also needs it, but you daven for your friend, so hu nene tchila, is a very important concept. Davening for other people is something that Chazal say is a recipe to have your tefillos be answered. And we should all have a wonderful yontev, and we'll resume sometime at the end of who knows when, right? Whenever. We have like a 2-week break now, right? A 3-week break. It's a long one. Okay, Chevra.